Together in our confession of sins. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. And so we begin with a silent confession in our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our open prayer. O Lord God, when we find ourselves in times of need and wonder if we are all alone, remind us of your presence in our lives, that you never leave us nor forsake us, but are with us each step of the way to guide us in our journey through life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you to be seated.
Good morning. Our Bible reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be the king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord.
Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I debated on this All Saints weekend whether I should continue with our sermon series, Epic Fails, God Prevails. But then I thought about this particular text that you just heard and this man of God from the Bible that most of us are at least aware of, Elijah. And I thought, Elijah has done some great things for God, but there was a point at which he became discouraged and even faced some depression. His failure was that he thought that he alone was left and that no one else followed God. And yet God's grace comes into the story because it's God who restored his hope and brought purpose back to his life. And maybe think about us today. Where do we need God to restore our hope, to inspire and encourage us as we face the struggles and the trials of this life? Elijah, of course, represents the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. For those of you, some of you have been in my Bible study Tuesday nights. We've been in 1 and 2 Kings. You know this. You could probably preach the sermon today, right, or part of it. Elijah is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He's the central figure in Israel's history at this particular time. This was when the kingdom had been divided after Solomon. Israel in the north, which later became the Samaritans, and then Judah, who followed after the line of David in the south. The northern tribes had turned away from God time and time again. And right now, at this particular time, King Ahab and Jezebel are king and queen in Israel. And if you were to look up a top 10 or even a top 5 list in the Bible of the evilest people, Jezebel ranks in the top 5, often coming in second in place. Because what she did was bring in all forms of pagan worship, vile practices, including child sacrifice, into Israel and turn them away from God. Of course, Elijah is famous for the chapter before this one in 1 Kings chapter 18, where he challenged the 450 prophets of Baal, those prophets of Jezebel's, to what I call a prophetic duel. All right? Whose God would consume the offering, the sacrifice? So Elijah allowed the other prophets, the 450 prophets of Baal, to go first. And they put their sacrifice on the altar. They cried out all day long, even cutting themselves and doing all sorts of things. But nothing happened. Why? Because their God was a God of wood and stone, an idol. When it was Elijah's turn, he upped the ante. He poured copious amounts of water 7 times upon the altar and the sacrifice and all around it. And when he called upon God, God sent a fire not only to consume the offering, but instantly turn all that water into steam to consume all the wood, even the rocks and the stones that the altar was built out of. So in the power then of Almighty God, Elijah slew all of those prophets of Baal, hoping to rid Israel of that evil. Now, there's more to the story, of course, and you can continue reading in 1 Kings, but the point is that Elijah was anything but a failure. He performed these mighty acts on behalf of God Almighty, including calling upon God to bring rain after a period of severe drought for 3 years. But Jezebel got her revenge. She murdered many of the prophets of God. And so Elijah found himself on the run, hiding in this cave on Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb has another name. It's also known as Mount Sinai. And if you recall, that's where Moses received the 10 commandments from God several generations earlier. Well, the same man who had been so courageous for the sake of God, Elijah, now found himself alone and in despair, thinking that he only was left, nobody else. Such was the scope of Jezebel's evil influence that he had assumed that every person in Israel had followed after her despicable, vile, evil ways and practices. I'm reminded of one of the great missionaries, early missionaries to India, William Carey, who arrived there in 1793. He preached the good news of Jesus to people who had never even heard the name of Jesus. For 7 years, he proclaimed the gospel week after week, month after month, with not one single convert to Christ in India. And through those early years of struggle, Carey was often discouraged, but never defeated. He wrote back home to his sister. He said, "I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing, and thus I hope. Oh, but a little blast all, and hopes are gone like a cloud. They were only weeds which appeared. Or if a little corn sprung up, it quickly dies, being either choked with weeds or parched up by the sun of persecution. Yet I still hope in God, and will go forth in his strength and make mention of his righteousness alone." Alone. I'm sure that's how Carey felt at times. And that's exactly how Elijah felt at this moment in his life. He felt the weight of the world on his shoulders. He had destroyed all those false prophets of Baal who were turning God's people away. He thought he had made a difference, only to despair when Jezebel exacted her revenge. He thought he'd failed. He believed Israel was lost forever. All his efforts had come to naught. It was a difficult time for Elijah. Well, how often have we felt like Elijah? We've tried hard. We thought we were doing the right thing. But then our world came crashing down around us. Maybe it was a job situation that didn't work out, or a marriage or a relationship that failed. Perhaps it was a health issue that didn't turn out as expected, or a family member that suffered. On this All Saints weekend, there are several of these family members that we miss, and we would love to have still had around in our lives, and yet they died. There's a lot of questions, questions of the what ifs, or if only I had. And for someone who's lost a spouse, or your last parent, or even a child, those feelings of despair and loneliness can be haunting. Elijah was hiding alone in a cave. When Jesus died on the cross, the disciples also went into hiding. They went into the upper room, they locked the door in a day and time when nobody locked their doors. Most people didn't even have locks on their doors, but they locked the doors. They were afraid. Listen to Elijah's words in verse 10. "I have been very jealous for the Lord," he cried out, "the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars. They have killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." That's a voice of despair, a voice of hopelessness. It was G.K. Chesterton who wrote, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It's only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength." And where do we find hope? Well, God came to Elijah and challenged him. "Go out. Stand on the mount before the Lord." And so what does God do? We see that text, right? God sends this powerful wind that is so powerful, it's crushing the rocks, knocking them off the side of this mountain. But what? Where's God? God's not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake that's shaking the rocks in the mountain even more, but God is not in the earthquake. Then there's this fire, and it doesn't give us the scope of the fire, but God is not in that fire. This is the same God who came down and consumed the sacrifice and the whole altar that Elijah had prepared as he stood before those prophets of Baal. This is the same God who in the very beginning spoke and the universe obeyed as God created it ex nihilo, out of nothing. And so where do we expect to see God? We often assume that God comes and displays himself in very powerful, mighty, even grandiose acts, that we have no doubt whatsoever about God's power and might and authority. But where does Elijah discover God? After the fire, it tells us there's the sound of a low whisper. Psalm 46, some of us are familiar with, and I believe it was written as an echo to what Elijah was experiencing. It begins the same way with God's majesty and might and strength being displayed for all to witness. But when you get to that second to the last verse, verse 10 there in Psalm 46, it opens by saying this, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, God also comes to us in the quietness of our hearts. Elijah knew that the sound of that gentle whisper was God's voice. And he realized that God doesn't always reveal himself only in powerful, miraculous ways. To look for God in something big, a rally, a church, a conference, a highly visible leader, maybe to miss God because he is often found in those gentle whispers, in the quietness of a humbled heart. Are you listening for God? I encourage you to step back from the noise and the activity of your busy life and listen humbly and quietly for God's guidance. It may come when you least expect it. Listen for the whispers. Listen for God speaking to your heart. Find him in the quiet times as you pause for prayer or you take a few moments to set aside each day to read God's word. Or here we are, opening day weekend. Maybe it's in the deer blind on a quiet morning waiting for that trophy buck or that healthy doe to come by. You've got plenty of time there. Trust me, I've done that. To reflect, to listen for God's voice whispering to you. I want to tell you, no matter what you may be facing right now in your life, whatever tribulations, whatever struggles, whatever despair or loneliness you may feel, I do encourage you to take time each day. Put your phone aside. Put all the distractions aside. Turn the noise off. Find a place where you can commune with God, so to speak, to listen for God's voice and to seek the hope that he has for you. I love what 1 Peter says about that hope in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. He writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." There it is, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So again, no matter what you may be facing in this life, you have a hope, you have a promise. It cannot be taken from you because it was paid for out of God's great love given to each and every one of us through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So as you ponder that, may the peace of God, which passes all our human understandings, keep our hearts and minds always, always, always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let's join together in our offering prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We gather today to remember our loved ones who have died. Yes, we remember them only as we remember the promises of God in Jesus Christ. In thanksgiving, we recall the words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, of whom shall I be afraid?" St. Paul writes, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us." Paul records, "If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Because of Christ, God's people can proclaim, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. Now is saved up for me the crown of righteousness." In the face of death, we boldly shout, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Jesus promises in Revelation, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Your days are without number. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. You are the Lord of the past, present, and future. You hold eternity in the palm of your hand. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We remember with hope all the saints who have gone before us, the apostles and martyrs, evangelists and teachers, and all those from our congregation and families who have died, especially in those in the past years. I'm going to invite you to be seated at this time. And as the names are read, family members are invited to come forward to receive a small token, a small crown, which we call the crown of life, which represents that life which God has promised to those who love him. Louise Borchers. Jeannie Bell Krenwalgi. Kermit Krenwalgi. Irene Crutcher. Ethelyn Durst. Sydney Ellibrock. Vernell Ellibrock. Sandra Ensign. Stanley Feller. Shirley Gold. Annie Mae Herbert. Martha Marty Jennings. Leroy Young. Shirley Young. Joanne Clear. Joanne Cody. Randy Leifesty. Victoria Leffler. Ryan Majors. Victor Mazinski. Denver Mixon. Virginia Moore. Wilbert Ronsleben. Nathan Sagabiel. Dottie Schneider. Ginger Signer. Carol Strom. Victoria Saltemeyer. Bob Tice. Dick Trogant. Gerald Usner. And Esther Weber. Stand, please. Whether it be in our time of need, simply in worship, or as a moment of celebration, Jesus shared that most wonderful of prayers, and we pray the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, children of God, receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join together in our concluding song.